Alleluia, Christ is risen. Those words, friends, are being said around our world today. In simple clabbered churches, they're being said in vast cathedrals or in parish sanctuaries. They have been said at sunrise services. They are being intoned by people who mourn and weep, by people who are free, by people who are captive, by people who live in war-ravaged environments. They are being said by people who are fortunate to live in places of peace. The words are being said everywhere today, even by folk who are gathering by the shell of what was once Notre Dame. Regardless of the locale, or the music, or the pageantry, or the manner of dress, it points to an event that so captured our human imagination, almost 2,000 years later, we continue to see this as the touchstone, the absolute touchstone of life and of faith. The mystery that is the empty tomb has so changed us and has so changed our history that even the most ardent skeptic acknowledges the power, the absolute power of this story. So we're gathered here today, friends in Westwood, family, friends, perhaps strangers, but we are all here because we are a part of something bigger, something so much bigger than we could ever imagine. We are here because of the story which keeps binding us together year after year. It is a story of which we never tire because it is the story which reminds us that new life, new birth, redemption, hope, and limitless possibilities are our foundation. So I have a particular affinity for the story, for the resurrection story as it's presented in Mark's gospel. So that's why I have turned to it for my Easter message this morning, my last Easter message at Westwood. The story focused on the women. It was about the women in Mark's account. The same women who had seen their Lord crucified and left to die on the cross. It was Mary of Magdala, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, who set out to the grave in the early morning hours of that first day of the week. Jesus had been laid to rest so hastily that the appropriate anointing with spices, the anointing of the body, had not taken place. And that is what they needed to do. Yes, sometimes at our lowest points, when we are most devastated, it is the traditions that hold us together, isn't it? So they made their way to the tomb, a borrowed tomb. A tomb that had been provided by Joseph of Arimathea. Could there have been any more indignity in this situation? Well, as the story tells us, when they approached the tomb, they realized there was a dilemma. The stone that had been rolled in place to seal the tomb, and they knew that even with three of them, there was no way that they were going to be able to move the stone that was now in place. Perhaps they thought they could find someone to help them. We don't know. But what we do know is that Mark reports to us that a surprise awaited them. The tomb was no longer sealed. The stone had been rolled back. Can you imagine the baffling thoughts that must have been going through their heads at that moment, wondering if the tomb had been desecrated, had the body been damaged? Was this going to be the final insult on top of everything that had happened over the last 3 days? Had Jesus' detractors now stolen his body? Well, whatever it was they may have been thinking, they found courage. They found the courage to investigate. Instead of leaving, they decided to look inside of the tomb to see what had happened. And what they found caught them completely off guard. A young man. Some accounts might have called him a messenger or an angel. A young man that spoke to them, and he greeted them with the words, "Do not be alarmed." If we think about it, they were very similar words that the angel Gabriel, appearing to Mary, the mother of Jesus, some 30 years before, had announced by saying, "Do not be afraid." In both cases, the instruction was clear. It was not time to panic. Well, as we well know, that's easier said than done. It is not always helpful when someone tells us to stay calm in the midst of a highly charged situation. But the women stayed and they listened. And they listened to what seemed an absolutely impossible story, that Jesus was not there, that Jesus had risen, that God had ultimately triumphed over death. So let's try to get this into perspective. These women who had lived through the trauma of Jesus' arrest and death and his hasty burial in a borrowed tomb, these women who had come to anoint the body only to find the tomb opened, to find the body gone, and this strange person, they're telling them absolutely impossible things. Then on top of it, they were told they were supposed to go tell the disciples. Well, it doesn't matter how much courage anyone has, because I appreciate what Mark's account says right now, because it's very, very human, because it said they ran. They ran in fear, in terror, not sure of anything that was happening. They ran with this jumbled mix of emotions that hurt to the core. The interesting thing about Mark's version of the Easter story is that this is where the story ends, with the women running. Jesus did not appear to them. We do not know if they ran to Peter and the others as had been instructed. Instead, it ends with the equivalent of a giant question mark. That for many is the real power of the gospel account, because it causes the reader or those of us who hear the story to have to come up with our own conclusions. It's not tied up for us with a neat little bow. It is much more the story of real life, life that is messy, life that is not always clear, life that is so often downright confusing. Friends, all we have to do is look in our communities, look in our nation, look around the world to know that not everything is tied up with a neat little bow. It is so messy. Well, this ending to the gospel became very problematic for the early church, so much so that a longer ending was eventually written and was tacked on to the end of Mark's gospel to make it more in alignment with the gospel writers. Yes, sometimes we just can't handle it and we run away from the question marks. So how are we supposed to deal with this? Well, let's remember, friends, that this gospel, the gospel of Mark, was written decades after the events of Holy Week. You see, the Christian community was already forming and it was already living into the truth and the power of the risen Christ. It was present in their lives. Mark, this was just perfect. It was brilliant to leave this open-ended account when you think about it. It's perfect because it, to this day, asks you and it asks me to grapple with this ancient story that has changed and continues to change people's lives. It asks each of us to consider, not to be told, but to consider how we believe God is at work in this world, and it compels us to always be looking for the places where God's grace and God's love are indeed at work. Friends, isn't it often the question marks that most inform our relationship with God, our relationship with the holy? Isn't it the question marks that so often become the source of the greatest transformation for each of us? God's real power in our lives, I believe, is because God provides to us invitation. We are not told what we have to do. And the beauty of this account of the resurrection is the reminder that this experience will be different for everyone, because God doesn't just touch us corporately. God touches us individually when it comes to helping each of us focus on where we so desperately need rebirth, where we need a second chance. The resurrection reminds us that God cares profoundly about each of us. God knows each of us by name, and that is made real to us in the life of Jesus, the resurrected Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit that is still at work in the world even to this day. What Mark helps us to understand is that the end of the story is still being written. It's not finished. It is being written by each of us. Each of us, when we choose to respond to God's grace and God's love by saying yes, when we say yes in the way we use our resources, when we say yes, when we choose to bring together rather than divide as so many would do, when we say yes, when we follow Jesus' instruction to love God and to love neighbor as self. The power of this Easter message, my friends, is in how we choose to respond. God has acted. Christ is risen. The Holy Spirit abounds. What do we choose? May the love and power of the resurrected Christ touch each of us as we continue to write the story. Alleluia, Christ is risen.